are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to a bonus edition of Locked On Wolves on a Saturday morning. If you missed the announcement on Friday, I'm recording this for the weekend as I missed Thursday's show due to illness. As it turns out, there's a decent amount of news to discuss, so settle in for a quick-hitting, packed show today. We'll try and keep it short, but there is a lot to cover. We're going to talk about the Western Conference All-Star Reserves one more time. I don't want to draw this out much longer, but I think it's relevant to discuss just who made the All-Star team that maybe shouldn't over Towns in the Western Conference. Going to get a little bit more weeds on, spoiler alert, the Brandon Ingram selection and why he wasn't deserving over Towns, even with Towns playing in 13 less games than Ingram over the course of the first half of the season, which is no doubt why Ingram was selected over Towns. Then we're going to get into previewing Wolves-Clippers for Saturday night. And obviously, it's the first Wolves game since Monday, so there'll be a lot to talk about there. And the Wolves haven't played the Clippers since, I guess, the game that Towns initially got injured in on that Friday night in the middle of December. So we'll talk a little bit about that matchup, what the Clippers have been up to lately as well. First of all, a quick reminder to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T, Locked On T-Wolves on Twitter. Also, one other note before we talk about Ingram versus Towns and the All-Star roster as a whole. Josh Okogie was named to the Rising Stars game the other day and will be the only Wolves player to represent the organization at All-Star Weekend. There is no Jarrett Culver included on those rosters, which is a little bit interesting. There are 20 total players that are selected. They are divided into a U.S. and a world team. Zion Williamson did get selected to play. It sounds like he will play. He's only been in four games this year, and I get why they did that. But, I mean, I don't know. It's if that's the reason why I got, and I get that it's not the All-Star game, but still, it's a little bit frustrating that no doubt that's the reason why Towns isn't in the big game. But putting Williamson in this game is there we go. So he technically was selected as an injury replacement for Wendell Carter of the Bulls, who is out. So there's that. But Okogie will be on the world team. Other players he'll be with, Nikhil Alexander-Walker from the Pelicans, Luka Doncic, was selected. Who knows if he'll play? He was just diagnosed with a moderate ankle sprain. So there's probably still a chance that Jarrett Culver makes it as an injury replacement. Be hard-pressed to say he's not at least in the top 22 or 23 rookies and sophomores in the league, at least in terms of volume. I mean, he's played enough that, he started a number of games. He's somewhat of a dynamic player. Obviously, he's had his struggles. And in terms of on-court impact, he probably isn't a top 22 or 23 rookie or sophomore if you combine both classes. But this is exactly the sort of game you'd assume he would be in. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's obviously in it. He's been awesome. RJ Barrett from the Knicks. Brandon Clark from the Grizzlies, Rui Hachimura from the Wizards, DeAndre Ayton from the Suns, Moritz Wagner from the Wizards. And so that's the world team. And then the U.S. team, don't need to list everybody off, but any notables? Not really any notables. Eric Paschal was probably an unexpected guy coming into the season. Zion Williamson, obviously Trae Young, who is voted to start the big game, and then John Morant, who is actually close to being voted to start the big game as well. He did very well in the Western Conference voting, but he'll be in the rookie sophomore game. So if anything changes, I mean, there's always a chance Culver gets nominated between now and February 14th if there's any injuries, so stay tuned to that. But at the moment, it's just Josh Okogie who will be making his second consecutive appearance in that game. All right, let's move on and talk pretty briefly about the Towns Ingram thing. And I have, I guess, admittedly made this a thing myself because I think Ingram's the least deserving All-Star. Technically Russell Westbrook is, but Westbrook was voted in as a backcourt player, whereas Ingram is a frontcourt player. He's primarily played the three and some of the four this year, but he's in the same position classification as Towns when it comes to the All-Star voting. And so he's the one that I've singled out as unworthy compared to Towns. Clearly, Ingram's had a good season, and that's, you can't ignore that. And he's had career highs in basically every category, and having the opportunity to kind of run a team in New Orleans, especially with Zion Williamson out, that matters. And he's been legitimately good this year. I'm not disputing that. But all that said, I mean, if no matter how you slice it, Towns is a more worthy All-Star selection. If counting stats are your thing and you really want to go off of counting stats, Towns wins in the points category, rebounds category, and blocks per game. He's tied in steals per game and behind by just 0.1 assists per game. He's also ahead in assist rate. So based on the number of games Towns has played, his percentage of possessions assisted while on the floor is higher than Brandon Ingram as well. Shooting efficiency, Towns has a higher field goal percentage, higher three-point percentage, and then higher effective and true shooting percentages as well. Only trails in free throw shooting, and that's only by a few percentage points. Ingram's at a career high 85.6% from the line. Towns is at 81.2% from the line. And most of the categories aren't particularly close. I mean, Towns is scoring 2 points more per game. He's obviously blocking almost a half a shot more per game. And he's rebounding the ball 4.4 times more per game. The three-point shooting percentage, Ingram's actually, he's improved quite a bit there. He's at exactly 40%. Towns is at 41.2% this year. Field goal percentage, Ingram's 47%. Towns 51.1%. And they're attempting the exact same number of field goals per game, 18.1 field goal attempts per game. And if you look at true shooting percentage, effective field goal percentage, so effective field goal percentage basically just factors in, it weights it towards three-pointers. It factors in that a three-point field goal is obviously more worth more than a two-point field goal. Towns is at 60.4%. Ingram's at 53.8%. True shooting percentage, which also takes into account free throws, Ingram's at 59.7%. Towns is still ahead at 64.6%. Even though he's down a little bit in free throw shooting, he's still having a good year at 81.2. Towns is from the line, and he's also averaging only 0.1 free throws less per game. Ingram's shooting 6.3 free throws per game, Towns 6.2. And once again, free throw rate's also very close. They're both at roughly 34%, with Ingram 0.05 ahead of Towns in free throw rate on the season. You look at the rate-based stats, Towns is ahead in every single one again. The only one that he's behind in is turnover rate, and that's close. And obviously, Towns has been handling the ball a lot more in the offense this year than he has in past years. Look at win shares, plus minus, all that stuff, Towns is ahead. Win shares per 48, Towns is at 0.222, Ingram's at a 0.137. Not close. And obviously that's a good mark. That's the start of a very good starter, Ingram's is, but Towns is the mark of a superstar. If you're over 200 essentially in win shares. If you look at any box plus minus or any plus minus number, according to Basketball Reference's plus minus, which I think is a little bit flawed in terms of how it factors in defense especially, Towns is at an 8.6 for the season. Ingram's at a 2.1 and is negative defensively. If you look at ESPN's real plus minus, which I think is a little bit of a better indicator of individual performance, it's a lot closer. But Towns is at a 1.91 for the season and is, I think, the 10th best center. Ingram's at a 1.27 and trails Towns there as well. So, I mean, Ingram's now played in 14 more games. Obviously, Towns will catch up, I guess, after Saturday night's game. But the Pelicans are only 3.5 games better than the Wolves in the standings. It's not like the Pelicans are world beaters this year. It's not like they're outperforming expectations. In fact, they're underperforming expectations. And that should be seen as, I mean, that should factor in, right? Clearly, team performance is factoring into Towns' lack of a selection between team performance and number of games played. So I don't understand why that can't factor in for Brandon Ingram. I think there's maybe some, you know, finally he's reaching his abilities relief with Ingram, because he was a little bit of a disappointment over his first 3 years in the league in LA. He's still just 22. He's in his fourth year in the league. Towns is in his fifth year in the league. He's 24. So I think there's some relief that this former number two overall pick that was billed as the next Kevin Durant, perhaps unfairly, clearly unfairly, is finally kind of starting to hit on his star potential. And to be clear, he is a star. He's vaulted his career three-point shooting percentage. He'd never attempted more than 1.8 a game. He's shooting over 6 a game now. He's up 7% from beyond the arc. Free throw shooting percentage, he's almost 20 points up where he's been, and he's like 15 up on his career average. And he's scoring more and scoring more efficiently despite needing to do it more often for a bad team and having a higher usage rate. And it's been an impressive season for Ingram, and I feel like in a vacuum, he shouldn't necessarily be rewarded with an All-Star bid over somebody like a Towns. But if you include all the context, it's understandable as to how he was named. All right, real quickly, before we move on, I did want to mention our friends at MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between the tail end of football season, the Super Bowl, of course, is tomorrow, the middle of the NBA season, and the middle of the college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Are you tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, the Wolves-Clippers game actually tips off this afternoon at 2:30. It's not a night game, so 2:30 p.m. Central, which means it's a 12:30 p.m. game in Los Angeles at Staples Center. The Wolves take on the Clippers. In terms of injury report, the Wolves officially have Allen Crabbe listed as questionable. He did not play. It was a knee subluxation. He injured it last Saturday. Did not play in Monday's game against Sacramento. He's questionable for this game. For the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard's actually questionable. He was a late scratch in the Clippers' last game. Did they lose or did they win? Yeah, they lost to the Kings. The Clippers actually lost to the Kings by 21. Kawhi missed the game on Thursday night. And the Kings are on a little bit of a run here. They beat the Wolves earlier in the week, obviously. The Timberwolves, outside of Allen Crabbe, are relatively healthy. The Clippers, outside of Kawhi Leonard, are healthy as well, and both players are questionable coming into the game. The last time these two teams played was back in mid-December. That was the game that Towns injured his knee at the end of the game, finished the game, and then missed. I think it was 15 games in a row. The Wolves at the time were on like a five-ish game losing streak that had started with that weird, disappointing loss at Oklahoma City in the last minute with the Chris Paul untucked jersey, Jordan Bell thing. So the Wolves and the Clippers faced off on Friday, December 13th. That was an ESPN game. It was the first game the Wolves wore their new City Edition jerseys, the light blues with the MSP across the chest. The Wolves were down for most of the game. I mean, they were hanging around. They were down 6-7 points at halftime and 21 headed into the fourth quarter. But then they went on a big run in the fourth. They never really got closer than about three possessions or so, but they outscored the Clippers 36-22 in the fourth, and they were close enough that Towns was on the floor at the end, and they really did make things somewhat interesting. Towns had 39-12 in that game, 3 assists, 2 steals, 5 of 10 beyond the arc, 10 of 13 from the free throw line, and was a monster. That was his last big, massive, all-around game. He scored over 33 times and had the 40-plus game since his return from injury, but he's only rebounded in double figures, I believe, once since he's returned from injury. Wiggins was also good in this game. He had 34 points on 20 shots, 2 of 7 beyond the arc, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He only had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Combined, Wiggins and Towns turned it over 9 times. Jeff Teague was the only other player who did much on the floor for the Wolves in this game. He came off the bench for 22 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. This was back when Napier was unavailable for this. Napier came off the bench as well. But remember, there was that brief stretch where the Wolves tried starting both Okogie and Culver. Did not go well in this game. Culver was 0 for 5 from the field, 0 points in 17 minutes. Was a team worst, minus 18 in a game that the Wolves ended up losing by 7. And on the flip side, Teague off the bench was a plus 13 in this game. Napier was only a minus 1 in 14 minutes, and Okogie was decent in 31 minutes in the starting lineup, although he only had 6 points, 4 rebounds. Covington was quiet, 2 of 8 from beyond the arc. No other contributions from the bench. Gorgui Dieng had 5 points. Jordan Bell had 1 point in 11 minutes, and that was it in terms of bench scoring. Kata Bates-Diop did nothing in 11 minutes. Shabazz Napier did nothing scoring-wise in 14 minutes. Trayvon Graham played 3 minutes, did nothing. Of course, Teague and Graham are both gone. Allen Crabbe's now in the mix if he's able to play. In terms of the Clippers, their entire offense was just entirely as one might expect, but even more so in this game. Everything was laid on the shoulders of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. George had 46 points. Leonard had 42 points. George took 31 shots to get his 46. Leonard took only 24 shots. He was 19 of 19 from the free throw line. He attempted 19 free throws and made 19 free throws. He also had 11 rebounds. He turned the ball over 8 times, but that doesn't matter as much when you make 19 free throws. For the game, the Clippers were 35 of 39 from the free throw line, which is 89.7%. The Wolves weren't far behind. They were 31 of 37, 83.8%. So they were only about 5 percentage points behind, 5.5 points behind the Clippers, and actually attempted a fair amount in what was a good game and featured that late charge by the Wolves. I would expect more of the same in this game. If Kawhi Leonard plays, you're going to see a lot more of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard scoring, and you're going to see a lot of Wiggins and Towns from the Wolves. The question is, can the Wolves get a bench contribution without a player like Jeff Teague coming off the bench? The Wolves bench has been lackluster, to say the least, of late. There just isn't much firepower there. If Gorgui Dieng's shooting the ball well, great, but he doesn't play with Towns, so his minutes are going to be limited. Kata Bates-Diop has had some ups and downs. Shabazz Napier is now in the starting lineup. Whoever doesn't start for McCogie and Culver, those guys have both been struggling of late at the tail end of this. Well, I guess it's not over yet, but the more recent games of this current ongoing 10-game losing streak. So those guys are going to need to step up as well, which is a constant need for the Timberwolves. All right, next up, we're going to look at the Clippers, specifically what to look out for from the Clippers, and put a bow on this preview, look ahead to the upcoming week as well. As far as the Clippers go as a team, their MO is getting to the free throw line, so it wasn't unusual. They got to the line like 35 times or whatever it was against the Wolves last time. They're second in the league in free throw attempts per game at 26.6 attempts per game. They're 10th in percentage, which is good enough for a team that shoots that many per game. They're also second in rebounding. Montrezl Harrell primarily comes off the bench and is a huge reason for that. He's averaging 19 points, 7 rebounds per game, but he only plays 29 minutes a game. His rebound rate is really, really good. And then also Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are great rebounders for their positions as well. And Patrick Beverley, when he's been healthy, is an outstanding rebounder as far as point guards go. So this team rebounds well. They shoot free throws well. They're good enough beyond the arc. They're 17th in three-point attempts per game, but 12th in percentage. So when they take them, they make them, and that makes them a really efficient offensive team. They're defensively, they're good. I mean, they're top five in offensive rating. They're seventh in defensive rating. Of course, Kawhi Leonard is known, you know, as a defensive stalwart, to say the least. Paul George is a good defender. Montrezl Harrell's defensive rebounding plays a big role in them shutting down teams and not allowing second chance opportunities. Also, their offensive rebounding rate is third in the league, 24.8%. And again, a big part of that, Montrezl Harrell averages almost 3 offensive boards a game. Ivica Zubac, who starts and plays less minutes than Harrell, he only plays about 18 minutes a game, still pulls down 2.5 offensive rebounds a game, actually rebounds the ball at a better rate than Montrezl Harrell does in fewer minutes, in far fewer minutes, roughly 11 fewer minutes a game. And yet he averages about the same in terms of per game rebounds. Ivica Zubac's overall rebound rate is 20.4%. Defensive rebounding rate, 25.3%. Also a great rebounder that sees rotational minutes on this team is Jermichael Green. Comes off the bench, plays 21 minutes a game, and is an outstanding rebounder. So that spells trouble for the Wolves. If you look at some of the Wolves' weaknesses, of course, shooting three-pointers, I mean, not attempting them, but actually making them is a big weakness. They were out-rebounded when these two teams played last time, 45 to 39. And especially with Towns struggling on the glass recently, only pulling down double-digit boards once since his return from injury, that could be a serious issue. I mean, it's an incredible stretch. Towns has played 7 games since he returned from injury. He's only logged more than 8 rebounds one time. He had that 30 and 12 in the loss against Houston. He's been under 8 rebounds every other game. There's a 5, there's 2 sixes, and 3 eights. And that can't happen against the Clippers. The Clippers are an outstanding rebounding team. The Wolves need Towns to show up on the glass and to really come to play there. Since his return, Towns is averaging 28.1 points, 7.6 rebounds, 3.7 assists per game. almost 3.5 turnovers as well. He is shooting 38.8% from beyond the arc, so only slightly below where he's at for the season, and over 50% from the field. So he's played well overall. His free throw shooting's been better than early in the season, too. It's just the rebounding. And part of that is he doesn't have a whole lot of support there. Robert Covington isn't exactly known as a great rebounding stretch four player. And so the Wolves are going to need some help in that department in this one. All right, looking ahead at the Wolves' upcoming schedule, they have this matinee against the Clippers at 2:30 this afternoon. And then they stay on the West Coast for one more game in what's kind of a strange two-game West Coast swing. They'll play the Kings on Monday night in Sacramento for the second time in a week. That's, of course, a winnable game. They beat the Kings in double overtime last time they were in Sacramento the day after Christmas, lost them in overtime in that just absolutely stunningly hideous game on Monday of this past week. And then they return home for a couple of games. Atlanta, the night before the trade deadline on Wednesday. Trade deadline is Thursday the 6th. We'll spend a lot of time next week talking about that. And then Saturday against the Clippers, they'll have a couple days off after the deadline. And then only two more games before the All-Star break at Toronto, at home for Charlotte. And the All-Star break will be heading into Valentine's Day weekend here 2 weeks from now. So we'll obviously be covering all of that, all things All-Star Weekend, all things Josh Okogie and the Rising Stars game, as that's the only Wolves representation it looks like we'll have. But here's hoping for breaking the losing streak, maybe pull out a couple of wins here prior to the break and see what happens after that. And obviously what happens at the deadline could be really interesting as well. That's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks for once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. That's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.